coordinator or campaign manager at the East Los Angeles Kucinich for President office. Our office is located at 3617 Cesar Chavez Avenue in East Los Angeles. So if you're in the area, please come down. I'd just like to say quite briefly that this is a very, very important campaign to elect a very, very important man to one of the highest positions in this nation. As you are aware that of the takeover, of the Bush takeover of this country, and since then how the rich have gotten richer and the poor get poorer and more poor people keep going to prison. If you remember in history, Adolf Hitler had concentration camps and he had people working in those concentration camps and they were a business. And unfortunately, many of the prisons in our nations have become a business. The big companies who sell to the prisons, the stores in the prisons, they're working prisoners for 20 cents an hour in some cases. What is happening is tyranny against our nation. What is happening is a change which is needed, a change that, people are looking for. And we're looking for this change in this candidate who has the qualifications, who cares about the people, who understands what's happening with the three strikes. The fact is that so many thousands of people are being sent to prison throughout the United States. It's a multi-billion dollar business. The industrial prison complex has become a monopoly, a business on poor people. The fact that there are 6 million people in prisons, jails, and institutions throughout the United States. What's going on? What's really going on? Therefore, something needs to be done. And our answer, much of our answer, is in the Kucinich campaign. I'm asking you to please help me and help the, also help the Third Street office, the Kucinich campaign, and the East LA office. Get involved with this campaign. We need volunteers. We need financial support. We need you to be out there on the front line with all of us, getting this important man elected to office. And now I would like to introduce our candidate, our presidential candidate, and the next president of the United States, Dennis Kucinich.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Dave, and thank you, Don, and thanks to all of you. Thank you. And thanks to all of you for your presence here this afternoon. I'm here to join with the families who are intending to amend California's three strikes law so that we can take this state and this country in a different direction with respect to criminal justice. We understand that the criminal justice system has achieved a dimension which has set it apart from the concerns of justice and has in fact departed from the realities of the United States Constitution. Because there is no question in my mind that three strikes and you're out takes us into the constitutional question of cruel and unusual punishment. There is also no question that individuals who are more likely to receive this penalty are individuals who don't have proper legal representation. So we have to recognize that there are class and there are racial elements that are involved in the application of these severe penalties. And that is not only with respect to three strikes and you're out, but it's also with respect to the death penalty itself. A penalty which I oppose and as President of the United States will seek to repeal. We need to look at the broader context of criminal justice in this country and the journey that takes people into repeated offense. We must understand that there is a direct connection between the hopelessness and despair that causes people to repeatedly break the law, and the fact that People don't have jobs. They don't have adequate housing. There's not adequate education. The society fails. And so the failures of the society, in turn, produce people who inevitably are going to find themselves in conditions where some of them will violate the law. Doesn't justify it, but we sure must understand the context. We must understand the context. This three strikes and you're out legal theory arose at a time when the country decided it was going to get tough by building more prisons. And, of course, three strikes and you're out helps to keep the prisons full. Three strikes and you're out, mandatory minimums, the enforcement of drug laws in a way that are consistent with the race and the class biases built into criminal justice system, have made sure that our prison populations are overrepresentative of people of color. So what's the way out of this mess in this country? How do we repair our justice system, and how do we make it possible for people to have the opportunity to be able to pay their debt to society, but having paid their debt, not continuing to pay it? Or if they paid their debt to society, not be in a position where they're paying with the rest of their life because their third offense was a petty offense. I mean, this is what you're here for today. And this is why I'm here with you. Because you're recognizing the fact that 4,300 individuals, mostly people of color, are serving this three strikes and you're out law. Basically, their whole lives have been sacrificed to it. Basically, that three strikes and you're out has been a form of capital punishment. So, let's talk about what we need to do. First of all, we need to amend the law. I mean, we understand that, and we have to agree with that. Secondly, we need to take action at the federal level to provide disincentives for any state that would pass a three strikes and you're out law. That's the next thing we need to do. Third, we need to take action at a federal level to make sure that any laws that provide for mandatory minimums are reviewed, and with the exception of ones for the most violent crimes, are repealed. Because I think everyone here agrees there are certain types of crimes, the most violent crimes, there hasn't been any argument about the need for very strong penalties for violent offenders. But we're here to talk about how so many people end up being incarcerated under the Three Strikes Act, where their second or third violation hasn't been violent. And this is, so we have to make sure people understand the distinction. So the federal level has something to do with helping to set the context. The broader context in criminal justice goes to the drug laws in particular. We must change our emphasis in dealing with the challenge of drug abuse in this country to have the focus on rehabilitation instead of incarceration. Because if we're not ready to treat it as a medical problem first, I think we're going in the wrong direction just treating it only as a criminal justice problem. Because if you deal with the medical problem, you're less likely to have to deal with it as a criminal justice problem. And that's why we need to look at rehabilitation. Now, there is a broader expanse there. And that is, what do we do to provide such services? We know that such programs are being cut nationally. Community health programs are being cut. So it's obvious we need a national health care plan where everyone is covered, including people who need drug rehabilitation and alcohol rehabilitation and rehabilitation of any kind, dealing with mental health as well as physical health problems. So we have to widen it even further. And we understand that so many people in today's society who are having trouble making ends meet are going to do whatever they can to survive. Now, this country is increasingly providing fewer opportunities for the poor. It's one thing to talk about welfare reform, but welfare reform did not result in anyone's wages going up. Welfare reform often caused families to just be without any help at all. On the street, that's right. We need to have a full employment economy where everyone who wants to work can have a job. And we also need to make sure that our schools provide a context for all of our children to get an early start. We need a universal pre-kindergarten program so the children, particularly children from the inner city, don't have any option, ages 3, 4, and 5, have a chance for 5 days a week child care. It'll help their parents, too. We need to give mothers credit, particularly single mothers, for the time they're spent watching their kids if they're qualifying for any kind of public assistance. These are the kinds of things that a humane society will do. So we have to look at, you know, we can look at doing something about three strikes, and we ought to, but let's not just treat the symptoms of the larger societal problem here, because we must look at the arc of social and economic injustice, which has brought so many people into the criminal justice system. So we need to look at the first place. How can we make it so that people can survive? How can we make sure that people who come into the justice system have proper representation so they're not sold down the river because they happen to be poor or people of color? Next, when they're in the system, how can we make it so they can serve their time, and when their time served, they're done? Because there's so many people, after they serve their time, they're denied opportunities. They're denied opportunities. Now, if you are fortunate enough to own a home, and at the final payment on your mortgage, you want to celebrate the burning of your mortgage. But if you get another coupon from the bank a month later, another book that says we want you to keep paying, you're going to say, wait a minute, I already paid. Well, when people pay their debt to society, they shouldn't keep getting coupon books from society saying, you know, you owe us more. You can't have an education. You can't have a job. You can't vote. This is part of the problem, too. So three strikes and you're out points the way to a specific problem in the system. But when you get into it, you see it points to the whole system being wrong. Our whole criminal justice system needs to be looked at. We need to stop also the building of prisons and we have to stop the privatization of prisons as well. Because the privatization of prisons helps to encourage these kinds of draconian sentencing laws. So I wanted to come here to support you in your efforts, to let you know that there is a candidate for president who's looking, not just looking at, but talking about these criminal justice issues. And I was mayor of a big city. I understand what people go through. I understand how people struggle to survive. And understand that, you know, while we can't tolerate anyone who commits a violent crime, we also cannot tolerate a government which creates a penal system which locks people into hopelessness and doesn't give them a chance, you know, when they have a minor offense that then puts them in jail for life. We must change this system, and I'm here to help you do it. Thank you. Thank you. I'd like to hear from you now. I'd like to hear your comments, your questions about this. And anyone that wants to get up, I know that you had some testimony here earlier. Yes. This is a